Praise the Lord. Are you ready to receive? Are you sleepy? All right, then pinch your neighbor and wake them up, because somebody is in here. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness. Thou hast loved righteousness. What a powerful verse. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Folks, God is giving us here a picture of how his anointing flows. And I want you to get a hold of this tonight, and I want to just take a few moments to explain this to you so that you get a hold of something that perhaps you've heard before. But again, the thing that makes the Word of God become real to us is a revelation from the Holy Spirit. It's when we have revelation from God, when it's no longer just information, no longer just inspiration, no longer just perspiration, but it becomes revelation that turns into manifestation in our lives. You understand what I'm talking about? We talked a little bit about that this morning, and I say it again tonight, that what you hear is hopefully something you've already read in the Bible. Hopefully you're reading your Bible and you're studying your Bible and you're finding out what the Word of God says. Because as you do find out what the Word of God says, that's giving you information. But when you get a revelation from the Holy Spirit about something, that's when it changes your life. That's when it turns into a manifestation. And God wants us to have manifestation in our life. What is manifestation? That's when God's power shows up in your life. That's when God's glory shows up. That's when God's ability shows up in your life and comes out of the invisible realm into the visible realm. It comes off of the pages of the Bible and into your life, where it's not just words on a page, but it's living and it's breathing and it's abiding and it's manifesting. It's showing up in your life. The thing you're praying for actually shows up. That comes through the anointing. And that anointing, again, is released. Before I get into that, go over to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. You say, big deal. What's so great about the anointing? Well, some people may wonder. Some people may sit back and go, well, that's not that important to me. I need to get my bills paid. I need to get this burden of debt lifted off of me. I need to get this burden of sickness lifted off of me. I need to get this yoke of fear and worry and anxiety broken off of me. That's good. You should want those things. But that's what the anointing does. Look at Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off of thy shoulder, and his yoke from off of thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, folks, we're going to have to get a hold of something. We can't talk our way out of the yokes. We can't pray our way out of the yokes. We need the anointing to remove the burdens off of our shoulders and to destroy the yokes off our neck. Somebody say amen. Amen. What burden do you have? Well, you're the only one that knows better than anyone else. What is the burden? What burdens are you dealing with in your life? If you're dealing with a burden of financial problems, if you're dealing with a burden of family problems, if you're dealing with a burden of emotional problems, folks, there is no burden that you're dealing with that the anointing can't handle. There is no burden that is on you that the anointing can't remove. No yoke that is trying to attach itself to you that the anointing can't destroy. But we've got to get a hold of what is it that releases this anointing. And we see in Hebrews chapter 1 that we've got to love righteousness and hate wickedness. And too often, we don't love righteousness enough and we don't hate wickedness enough. That doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. That doesn't mean that you have to do everything right. But at some point in your life, there's got to be a hatred for what's wrong and a love for what's right. God is going to raise up in these last days a generation of people that love what's right and hate what's wrong. And those that love what's right and hate what's wrong, there's going to be an anointing. There's going to be a power. There's going to be a smothering of power and a release of ability and a release of wisdom and a release of grace and a release of strength that will cause you. In fact, the anointing, it talks about another word for this word anointing is to be made fat. And quite literally, this is talking about when the anointing would come on a person. See, there would be a yoke around their neck, and a yoke is like a, well, you know what a yoke is. It's like a chain around your neck, and the Bible talks about the anointing causing fatness. It causes your neck to grow and to expand and to be fat with abundance so that it breaks that yoke off of your neck. God wants abundance to fill your life. What greater of a force against the yoke of financial lack than abundance? See, it's the abundance that comes through the anointing that will break that yoke off of your neck or destroy that yoke from your neck. What greater force to destroy the yoke of sickness than the abundance of healing in your body? What greater force that will destroy the yoke of fear than faith, the spirit of faith and the anointing of faith, that an abundance of faith that will destroy that yoke from off of your neck? Well, I want to encourage you tonight. There is an abundance, there is a fatness that God wants to give you. Somebody needs to say amen. All this talk about, you know, watching our diet and watching what we eat and all that's going on among Christians and the world, that they're so focused. But see, God wants us to be fat in some areas. He wants us to be fat with the anointing. Because that anointing will just burst that yoke right off of your neck. What releases that anointing? Well, one thing that releases that anointing is love for righteousness. We got to love righteousness. We got to love the fact that He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we would be made the righteousness of God. We got to go back and get our righteousness notes out. And we got to study who we are in Christ. And we got to know. And as you meditate on your righteousness, that yoke is destroyed. That your fatness comes on you and abundance comes on you. The Bible says, through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we reign in this life. Through the abundance of grace. It's abundance and the gift of righteousness. We reign. So there's an abundance. There's a fatness that comes into your life through righteousness, through a revelation of righteousness that you cannot earn God's favor towards you. That comes through the righteousness that comes by the blood of Jesus. Amen? You got to get a hold of that. So that's one of the things that destroys that yoke from off of your neck is righteousness. And there's got to be a hatred in our lives for wickedness. We have to, you're never going to get rid of a problem in your life that you can tolerate. You're never going to get rid of a sin in your life that you can tolerate. You're never going to get rid of a weakness in your life that you can put up with. You're going to have to get to the point where you can't stand it anymore. You're going to have to get to the point where you're fed up with some of the junk in your life. Come on, don't shout me down. Until you're fed up with something, you'll never do anything about it. As long as you can tolerate it, as long as you can manage it, then you'll never really do what it takes to get rid of it. But when you get to the point where, you know what? I am fed up with this sickness. I am fed up with this financial problem. I'm fed up with always barely just getting the bills paid and not being able to get the bills paid and not having all of the wisdom that I need and not having all the faith that I need, not having all the power that I need. I am fed up with living that way. That will move you to action to do something different than you haven't done before. Amen. We got to hate wickedness. Thirdly, we see in Acts chapter 16. We don't have to turn there. You know it, and I know it. And we'll just go there by talking about it. That Paul and Silas were thrown in prison. Acts chapter 16. Prison. They were put in prison. Chains were put on their hands and on their feet. So iron yokes were now placed upon their life. And as they were in that prison, the Bible says that about midnight. Come on now. Doesn't matter how late it is. It doesn't matter how dark it is. It doesn't matter how bad it is. About midnight, Paul and Silas began to praise God and sing and worship God and exalt Him and give Him praise and give Him glory and give Him honor and sing to the Lord. Folks, they're in prison and they're singing. They're in prison and they're praising. They're in prison and they're worshiping. And while they're in prison and while they're worshiping and while they're praising God, the Bible says the prison that they were in began to shake and the prison doors began to open and the yoke of chains that were on their hands and on their feet began to break off of them and all the other prisoners that were in there. See, because your praise and your worship doesn't just affect you, it affects other people around you. The Bible says that as they praised God, the yokes that were on their life came off of them. Now go over with me to, again, Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Praise the Lord. Mark 14, watch this. Of course, we visited this last week, and we've been talking about it all week, and we'll continue to talk about it until we get past the point of just knowing it in our head and get to the point where we have a revelation of it, because that's when it's going to change us. Mark chapter 14, it says that while they were in Bethany, verse 3, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She broke the box, poured it on his head, and there were some who had indignation and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? And there were some, and for it might have been sold, verse 5, for more than 300 pence or 300 days' wage, and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Why trouble her? She has wrought a good work on me. Let me say it again, folks. When you give God offerings like that, when you give God what is precious, when you give God what is valuable, He comes to your aid and He says to those things that are troubling you, stop troubling them. Comes to your defense and He begins to fight your battles. Folks, you need God to fight your battles, don't you? Children of Israel needed God to fight their battles, so they just sent out the praisers. And as they were praising God, the Bible says the enemy routed each other. The enemies defeated each other so that Israel had great spoil and great victory through praise. And folks, we need God to fight our battles for us. And what releases God to fight our battles for us is giving. One of the things that releases God to fight our battles is praise, of course, but another thing is giving. As this woman gave sacrificially, Jesus said, leave her alone. Those that are troubling you, those that are murmuring against you, I'm going to stop them. I'm going to silence all those enemies. I'm going to stop all those enemies that are coming against you when you give that kind of offering, when you give that kind of sacrifice, when you give that which is valuable. I will silence your enemies. Anybody need some of that in their life? And break the box. Amen. Break the box, pour it on Jesus' feet. And it says in verse 7, for you have the poor with you always. In other words, you could have done for the poor. Why are you concerned about the poor all of a sudden? You could have been helping the poor yesterday. You could have been helping the poor the day before. Instead of pilfering out of the treasury, Judas, you could have been using some of that money to help the poor. Now all of a sudden you're concerned about the poor. After you've been stealing, after you've been robbing, after you've been taking from the treasury, now you're concerned that this woman is wasting the perfume. She's not wasting any perfume. She's doing something. The Bible says in verse 8, she has done what she could, for she has come beforehand to anoint my body. Man, man, I'm going to get this across to you one way or another. One of these days, it's going to sink in and revelation is going to come to you. He said, she anointed the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' body is now anointed through this offering, through this giving. The body is now anointed. And the Bible says when we eat the bread of communion, we are eating the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are eating the anointing, and the abundance of that anointing is coming into our body, and it's causing our neck to grow fat and destroy that yoke off our neck. It's very simple, folks. What releases the anointing is to love righteousness. What releases the anointing is to hate wickedness. What releases the anointing is praise. And what releases the anointing is communion. Has everybody got their box of unleavened bread? Have you gone to the grocery store? Everybody got some pure 100% grape juice. Some of you, I know you tried to turn this into an opportunity to buy some wine. Well, I'm not endorsing that. Go to 1 Samuel quickly, chapter 10. 1 Samuel, chapter 10. Now watch this. Then Samuel, verse 1. Then Samuel took... Now, before I go any further, I don't want us to get off into just, you know, losing the focus here. Why do we need the anointing? The anointing does what? It removes every burden and destroys every yoke from off of your life, right? So if you have a financial problem, that's a burden. If you have a spiritual problem, that's a burden. If you have an emotional problem, that's a burden. If you have a family problem, that's a burden or a yoke, whichever way you look at that. So the anointing will remove every one of these burdens and destroy every one of these yokes. Somebody say amen to that. Now, what releases this anointing is Hebrews 1:8. To love righteousness, Hebrews 1:8 and 9, to hate wickedness. What releases this anointing is praise, Acts chapter 16. Praise, folks, not just can't come to church and praise God and think that's what's gonna, that it can't just be at church. You gotta praise God in your midnight hour. You gotta praise God in your troubled times. You got to praise God when things are going bad. You got to praise God when you are at your worst moment. You got to praise God when you feel like cussing. You got to praise God when you feel like hitting somebody. You got to praise God when you feel like getting back at somebody. You got to praise God when you feel empty, when you feel lonely, when you feel sad, when you feel depressed, when you feel discouraged. Hey, listen, we all have feelings of depression sometimes. We all have feelings of sadness sometimes, but it's what we do in that midnight hour. It's what we do in that moment, and that's the moment to praise God. That's the moment that the anointing is about to manifest and remove that burden and destroy that yoke. In the moment that you begin to praise God in the midst of that difficulty, not just praise God because there's a good song you like. Hey, I like that song, let's praise. No, man, praise God with a song you don't like sometimes. Praise God. You don't need music to praise God. You got feet and you got a voice. Make a joyful noise and dance to the Lord with all your might. David danced with all his might, and the burden was lifted off of him, and the yoke was destroyed off of his life because he praised God anyway. I don't think we can ever stop hearing that. Some of you are oppressed. Some of you are dealing with oppression. What is that? It's a heaviness that is upon you. It's a yoke that is upon you. You feel oppressed emotionally, oppressed spiritually, oppressed physically. It's feeling a weight and a heaviness in your life. And you are just walking around like, you know, hoping that God will lift it off of you. And God has already said in His Word that as you begin to praise God and as you begin to glorify God in prison at the midnight hour, when things are against you, that's when that heaviness, that's when that oppression is going to come off of you. Man, I mean, folks, look, I believe in the good report. Thank God for the good report. But if we're just praising God when we hear the good report, we don't really understand what it means to praise God. And we really don't understand what it means to walk by faith, because we've got to praise God when we hear the bad report. Because that is lifting Him up above that situation so that He can have the freedom to do something about it. Amen. If you were to get fired, if you were to lose your job, what needs to happen is that praise needs to go up. Not, oh man, gosh, I lost my job. Oh man, things are troubling me. Oh man, and you get that Cheech and Chong spit. Oh man, you. You know what I'm saying now. But what has to happen is, instead of looking within and getting depressed, instead of looking around and feeling oppressed, you need to look to Him and be at rest. Amen. That's what will happen when you begin to praise God in the midnight hour. It will lift you up and out of that situation. That's the anointing. 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 It's the anointing manifests. Get that praise coming out of your mouth. Well, I don't feel like singing. I'm not a singer. Folks, listen. Who said you had to be a singer to sing? It says make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. So it sounds like a noise. Praise God anyway. Amen. No, you can't lip sync. Somebody over there whispering. And then it's not coming forth out of you. It's got to come forth out of you so somebody can hear it. If you think it makes the person next to you feel miserable, realize how bad it makes the devil feel when you start praising God. Amen. Say, I don't want to sing. You say, I don't really want to sing real loud because it'll make people next to me feel, you know. But man, I'm telling you, it makes the devil feel really bad. Because to the devil, it binds him. Oh, I got to read this to you. Hold your place in 1 Samuel 10 and go to Psalms chapter 149. Psalm 149. Come on, you know this verse. But you need me to share it with you again. It says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Hallelujah. And His praise in the congregation of saints. So He says, you need to sing to the Lord a new song when you're by yourself, and you need to sing praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. You got a king, the King of Kings. He's the King of Kings, which means He's the King of Kings, which means somebody's got to be the kings that He's the King of. And the Bible says if you've been made the righteousness of God, you rule and reign in life as a king. Let them praise His name in the dance. Somebody needs to move their feet a little bit. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and the harp. Man, we need a harp in our worship. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. You say, well, that's just okay in church. Look at what it says. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. I guess that's not just for church. You need to get up in the morning and jump on your bed and start dancing and doing the jig on your bed, doing whatever you got to do, but dance, move, dance around that bed. That's why it's got that spring to it. That's why it's got that push to it. That's to give you some bounce, man. Some people don't have that naturally, so you need to get on your bed and let the bed help you up. Let the bed help you get some momentum. Get this thing going, man. Get some perpetual momentum going on that bed. Isn't that what he says? Verse 6, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. I'm telling you, one of the greatest ways to drive depression and oppression out of your life is get this praise coming out of your mouth. Folks, you're not going to feel like praising God. That's the beauty of this thing. Say, I don't feel like praising God. Join the club. That's the time it's going to have the impact. That's the time it's going to break through the barrier. That's the time it's going to open the heavens and it's going to release the anointing. Of course you don't feel like it all the time. That's how the devil has deceived us into getting us to be quiet and getting us to be... And Jesus said if these children... The Pharisees, a religious spirit always wants to keep everything quiet. A religious spirit always wants to keep the people from shouting and praising God. And those Pharisees began to rebuke the children for praising God and the people for praising God. And Jesus said if these people stop praising God, the rocks will cry out. That's why where that song came, ain't gonna let no rock out praise me. Because the rocks will begin to praise God. The rocks will begin to cry out if we do not do the praising that God has created us to do. You say, man, my heart is hard. I don't feel like praising God. Is your heart harder than a rock? A rock is gonna praise God if you don't. Which ought to indicate to you that if a rock can praise God as hard as it is, you can praise God no matter how hard your heart might feel right now. No matter how hard your situation might feel right now. It's definitely not as hard as a rock. And yet a rock can praise God. What's your problem? Amen. Let the high praises... Let the high praises of God. We're not talking about low, low, low. We're talking about high, high, high praises. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword, that's the word of God, in their hand, right? Verse 7. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. And of course, in the Old Testament, it was the heathen and it was the people that were the enemy of the children of Israel. In the New Testament, it's not people that are our enemy, it's fear. It's anxiety. It's depression. It's poverty. It's demons. As you praise God, it executes vengeance upon the fear and punishment upon the anxiety. Verse 8, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To bind the principalities, to bind the devil. Amen. Amen. Folks, look, you don't have to, there's a lot of talk about spiritual warfare in the body of Christ today. There has been for many years. But folks, you don't have to figure out the name of every devil to bind that demon. That demon is bound when you praise God. Praise binds the kings and the nobles. It binds the principalities. It binds the spiritual forces. You don't have to identify every devil and figure out his name and have a conversation with a demon-possessed person. Tell me your name. Tell me your name. Tell me your name. Tell me your name. Remember, the devil is a liar. He's going to tell you 5 different names. You just go to praising God and that devil is bound. And the very chain that he has been using to bind you will come back on his ugly head when you praise God. Amen? All right. Go over to back to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Let's finish this up tonight. Then Samuel took a vial of oil, verse 1 of 1 Samuel 10. He took a vial of oil and poured it upon Saul's head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When you depart from me today, then you will find 2 men by Rachel's tomb in the border of Benjamin of Zelzah, and they will say unto you, 'The asses which you went to seek are found, and lo, thy father has left the care of the asses and sorrowed for you, saying, "What shall I do for my son?" Then shall you go on forward from there, and you shall come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet the three men going up to God to Bethel. So now he's talking about, I don't have time to get into this tonight fully, but you can get that in our book, one of the books that we did on why leaders fail. We talk in detail about this anointing here that the Bible describes. And it says in verse 3, you shall go on forward from there. He's talking about how to manifest this anointing. Or he poured the oil upon his head. He then kissed him. Samuel kissed Saul and released that anointing into his life. But he said, it's not finished yet. There's something I want you to do to walk in that fullness of the anointing. And he says in verse 3, then you shall go forward from there, and you shall come to the plain of Tabor, and there you shall meet three men going up to God to Bethel. So now here he says, in order to walk in the anointing, you need to have godly relationships with people. But notice how he describes these men. It says, three men, you're going to meet three men going up to God. So he says, the type of people that you need to be hanging around are people that are going up, not people that are going down in flames, not people that are going around with gossip, not people that are going around with strife, but people that are going up with God, up to God, that are moving forward. They're going up. They're making progress. They haven't settled. They haven't said, I've arrived. They said, I'm going up. I'm going up. I'm going up. I'm never stopping going up. That's the kind of people he said you need to be around to release this anointing. Come on, are you hearing this? Where are they going up? They're going up to God. They're not going up to the bar. They're not going up to hang out with each other because they all have something in common. They're all mad at somebody. But see, I'm going to tell you something. This is a part of releasing this anointing. And the anointing removes every burden, destroys every yoke. So if you're hanging around the wrong crowd, no wonder there's still burdens in your life. No wonder there's still yokes in your life. You're listening to the wrong people that are not going up to God. Are you hearing this? Notice what they're carrying. Is there any wonder? One is carrying three kids, that is three lambs. Another is carrying three loaves of bread, and another is carrying a bottle of wine. What a coincidence. How many know there are no coincidences in the Bible? They are carrying this stuff. They're carrying the lamb. They're carrying the bread. They're carrying the wine. So that Saul, you can take communion with them. Who are these three men? Something about three in the Bible. Same three men, I believe, that Lot met. Same three men that Abraham met in Genesis chapter 18. And he said, come in here and let me prepare for you the fatted calf. And come in here and let me prepare for you some bread. Oh, man. Show bread. What is the showbread? Remember, we talked about it this morning. Showbread. The word showbread means three things. It means face. It means to turn. And it means favor. When you study the word showbread in the Bible, it means face, it means to turn, and it means favor. So literally, when you receive the bread of communion, God is turning His face towards you to demonstrate and show you favor in your life. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Who are these three men? Dear God, who do you think? The Father. The Son. And the Holy Spirit. Same three men. In Genesis chapter 18 again, Abraham, these men came and Abraham brought them to his house and he said, stay here, eat this bread. And they took communion with Abraham. And then they said to Abraham, where's your wife? And he said, she's in the house. And one of the three men said, 1 year from now, we're going to come back and Sarah's going to have a child. Where'd that miracle come from? The bread, the lamb, and the wine. Praise God. Are you getting a hold of this? Now I'm going to challenge you tonight. I'm going to challenge you to go home and to release this anointing yourself. We took communion together this morning. We took communion together last Wednesday night. We took communion together last Sunday night. And we'll take communion again next Sunday probably. But I want you to take what you've heard tonight and take it home with you. Before you put anything on TV, before you go to the ice cream parlor, before you go... before you read the paper, read a book, read a newspaper, read a magazine. Before you do anything, get some bread. Get around your table. Set three chairs up. Man, Saul had three men want to meet him going up to God. Abraham had three men to meet him going up to God. And the Bible, Paul says in the scripture, I believe somewhere in 1 Thessalonians, he says, and may the comfort of the Father, may the communion of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you. Forgive me for not having that reference, but it's in there. May the communion or the fellowship or the intercourse of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you. Whew. How does that happen? Man, get that bread out. Get that cup out. And those that are carrying, he said, and they will salute you, verse 4, and they will give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive of their hands. And then you shall come to the hill of God where the garrison of the Philistine is. And it shall come to pass when you have come thither to the city of the Philistines, the enemy. Then you shall meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and tabret and pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And then you shall prophesy with them, and you shall be turned into another man. Whatever is in your life that needs to be changed will change. Look, it's all there. Loving righteousness is there. Hating wickedness is there. Praise is there. Prophesying. Communion. It's all right there. And it says, and thou shalt, and verse 9, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. That's the anointing. And that's available to each one of us. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Is this not the cup of blessing? It releases the anointing to remove every burden, destroy every yoke. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for revelation of your word. I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would penetrate every heart, every person, every believer in this place tonight. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are communing with us. Father, thank you that you are communing with us. Jesus. Emmanuel, Eucharist, God with us, God for us, God in us. Thank you for communing with us and for giving us. Thank you for giving us the point of contact in the form of the bread and the wine to release your anointing through in Jesus' mighty name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, if you'd like to receive Him tonight as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray the simple prayer out loud after me, and everybody pray this with us. Heavenly Father, I invite Jesus Christ into my life as my Lord and Savior. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord from this day forward. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer to make Jesus the Lord of your life, on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand if you meant it with all your heart. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3. Quickly, put your hand up now. God bless you. Who else? God bless you. Who else? Who else prayed that prayer? God bless you. Who else prayed that prayer to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Who else with these? Who else? Come on, quickly. Good, good. Who else with these? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God. Let's thank the Lord for these people. Praise the Lord. Oh man, I'm telling you, we're about to see more people saved in these last few months, in these last few years. We're about to see more people saved than we've ever seen before. Through this ministry, we're going to see more people saved in the next several months than we have in the last year or the last 2 years combined. There's going to be such a flood of salvation. Why? Because when the children of God came together to on the first day of the week to break bread, the Bible says the Lord was adding to their number those day by day that were being saved. And I declare to you that God is going to begin to add to our number day by day those who are being saved through the breaking of bread. There's something miraculous that is about to happen. We'll talk more about it as the days go by and as the weeks go by. Let's stand together. You that prayed that prayer to make Jesus